preached in a while. Okay, so that means a handful of you will love it, and the rest of you will, and most of the rest of you will tolerate it. And listen, in all seriousness, I feel I have a responsibility as a pastor to preach what I'm about to preach today. We're at a time in our world where choices need to be made in our lives personally. We're getting ready this week to make one of the single biggest choices in our nation's history. But may I just say, it is certainly not the end of the world kind of a choice, okay? No matter what happens on Tuesday or however long it takes to sort it all out, there is a God who is still in charge. And we don't need to do his job. By the way, welcome to all of our folks at home. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to say a special hello to our friends down in Elm City, North Carolina, Barry and Karen. And I just want to say hello to them. Dear, good pastor, a Methodist pastor down there in Elm City. You know, Elm City, my mother-in-law, that's where my mother-in-law lives. And Elm City is where Vice President Pence was last night. My mother-in-law got to go and stand in line and kind of get to see him. And I promise you, Elm City is like Ashley. I mean, it is a tiny little town. It's got one stoplight, and he was there, and that was a great thing. It has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. But I did want to say hello to our folks at home, and thank you all. And I want to reassure you again that whatever happens in this world, God has a much, much bigger plan for. Much more significant. As a matter of fact, America on the heavenly scene, America was, I believe, chosen by God. I believe God's used America. But God doesn't need America. Amen. Please understand, it's not about America. We're going to find out who it really is all about. Amen. This morning. So please relax and don't worry and don't fret, don't stress over anything that happens. However, I want you to be wise, and I want to do my part as the pastor of New Hope. And it's none of my business what happens in any other church, and we stay out of any other church's business. But right here, I want to share with you something that God is very, very serious about. God is not messing around. Okay? So please allow me to do that as I share with you today about the only election issue that really matters. Let me get into this. Before I get into the main message, let me get some agreement with you. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. And if you're not, please don't feel pressured to say you agree. But I want to kind of get a feel for you don't have to respond necessarily. But I'm going to give you a scripture. And I want you to yourself at least determine whether or not you agree with this scripture. All right, we find it in the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews tells us this, that by two immutable things, that means things that can never change. All right, they'll never change. In which it is, now these are the next five words are what I want you to focus on. It is impossible, time out. You know, Courtney, if you're going to come in late, you might not want to wear a dinosaur costume. Look, I'm just saying what everybody else is thinking, okay? It does, doesn't it? It looks like Ralphie. I love you, Courtney. All right, now, back on track here. By the way, I'd rather you come in late than not come in at all. She was downstairs helping out with our kids, actually, and thank you for doing that so that whoever it was, Cassie could sing for us today. Now, notice, please, and this is what I want. Please focus on those five words. It is impossible for God to lie. Now, please understand, that's not the same thing as saying that God doesn't lie. It's not the same thing as saying that God chooses to not lie. It's very, very important that we understand it is impossible for God to lie. And what that means is if God says something, this is what I want to know if you agree with me about this. If God says this is important, this is the way things are going to be, this is what's going to happen, it absolutely has to happen, and not even he can change it. Amen. Right? Amen. If God says something, and especially when he makes it crystal clear, then it has to happen because God cannot, he's not capable of lying. So here's a little trivia question. You know, if anybody ever says to you, hey, is there anything God cannot do? Absolutely, there's something God cannot do. He cannot lie. The Bible says he also can't change, but there's some interpretation things there. But he cannot lie. And so I wanted to make sure that at least most of us agree with that. So whatever God has to say today, whatever God is going to say to us crystal clear today, then I hope that we're all going to be ready to acknowledge that that is what is going to happen, and it doesn't really matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think, because God said this is what's going to happen. So let me then spring off of that. So today, I want to take you back to one of the oldest declarations in Scripture. When I say declaration, it's actually a covenant that God made with one man, the man Abraham. His name was actually Abram at the time. But we find in Genesis chapter number 12, in verse number 1, God comes to Abram. And again, he hadn't changed his name to Abraham yet, but it's the same person. And let's just kind of read this. So here we go. So the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now we're going to stop right there for just a minute. I want us to notice a couple of things. You know, as before we even really get into the main part of the message, I want you to notice that what God had to say here. God came to the man Abram and he said, Abram, I'm about ready to tell you something. I'm about ready to change the whole world, and I'm going to start with you. And it is, in its significance and its importance, rises above everything else in your life, including your nationality, including your family, your father, your mother, your anybody you have in your family. He said, if God were talking to us today, if he came down and he said, Stephen, what I'm about to tell you, it is more important than you being an American. And by the way, being a Christian is far more important than being an American. Amen. What I believe about God, what God tells me I am supposed to believe, is far more important than anything I believe about America. Amen. Any of my politics, any of my cultural issues, any of my beliefs about something like that. And he goes on to say, and he says, Stephen, and it's also far more important to your father. It's a great time to say amen. He's right there. Listen, he said, look, your family is not as important as what I'm about to tell you. What I'm about to tell you, Abram, rises above everything else in your life, so put all your other stuff aside. And he's saying the same thing to us. So may I say, in the midst of a terribly, terribly political climate, a culture, all the cultural issues we have, all the societal issues we have right now, what God wants to say to us today through Abraham is so much more important than anything going on in America today, and we all need to acknowledge that as children of God. He says, all those other things in your life pale in comparison to what I'm about to say to you. So he said, Abram, to prove that, I want you to get up. I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your family. I want you to go to a place, and I'm not even going to tell you where you are going, because I want you to simply trust me that what I'm about to say to you is what's going to happen, because he cannot lie. But secondly, it is for the good of the whole world. Here we go. Verse 2. So we continue then. Verse 2, let's just read it. I will make you a great nation. Now, please understand, Abraham at this time is 75 years old. His days of fathering children are long over. His wife is very old. Her days of mothering children, long past. This is an extraordinary thing God is promising. But he said, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Now, let me take a time out. Has God made true on any of that? Does anybody know? Can anybody testify God has been true to this? Did he make a great nation out of Abraham? Boy, he sure did. Did he bless Abraham? Boy, he sure did. Did he make his name great? Our children sing Father Abraham down in church. I hope downstairs they're singing that. You know, we know of all the people in Scripture that people know, most people know the name Abraham. He said, I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then he said this in verse number 3. He said, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, as I get into this message is truly, you know, please understand this passage that we've read right here. This passage is actually where it really all begins. I understand Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's the beginning of the universe. God set physical laws into place there. God put the planets, the stars and the galaxies and all that, and he put them in a perfect orbit, and he's causing them to expand. All those things that we could talk about scientifically, God began all of that then. We know that there was a time following that of terrible chaos where the cosmic war between good and evil, Satan and God, you know, caused all kinds of things. But we also know then that God came back in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, and he said, I'm gonna do this now with my best creation of all, that being modern man. And he recreated the earth, and he put Adam and Eve on the earth as modern man. And he said, "This is now in my likeness." So we get all that. That's kind of the beginning of everything. But this is the beginning of everything that you and I know of in our world today. This right here is really kind of where everything else you'll read in your Bible all comes back to this. Everything. Everything you read through the Old Testament, it's all about this nation that would come from Abraham. Everything that Jesus talked about, he spoke to the Jews. He spoke to God's people when he was on this earth. And even in the end times, which we're talking about on Wednesday nights, when we look forward to the time when the church is taken out of here, it's still all going to go back to this nation of Israel that God said, these are my people. This is always what's going to be most important to me. Please understand, look, you and I are very important to God. Amen? Amen. You are. Jesus thought so much of you that he went to the cross to take your sins upon him so you can go and live with God forever and to bring you into God's family. But God has never changed his opinion that it's all about the nation of Israel. That is his first and his top priority. They're his people because he started them with a man named Abraham. So this is a covenant that God is making with one man, Abraham. But its extension is a covenant with the rest of the world, extending through Abraham. You know, everything that's happening in our world today is, it really goes back to this. The nation of Israel has always been the center of everything that happens on this earth. Look at all the things we read about in the Middle East. It all goes back kind of to this, and we'll get into some of that here in just a minute. This right here, though, is kind of one of the big lines in the sand that God drew. By the way, that's another expression that you find in Scripture. Most people don't realize it's in Scripture. Not this passage, but this is a line in the sand that God drew. God said, I'm going to bless those who bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless those who bless Israel. And I'm going to curse those who curse Israel. This is a covenant that God made with one man, but God declared its reach to the rest of the world. So what is it that we need to know about this covenant that God made with Abraham? We call it the Abrahamic covenant. What do you and I need to know? Why should you care? Why should I care? Why should we care as Christians? Why should we care as individuals? Why should we care as Americans? Well, let me give you some reasons why this morning. And I've gone ahead and I've put them into point form so that we can try to remember this. Number one, the first reason we should care is because this is a unilateral covenant with Abraham. All that simply means is it's a one-way covenant. It's a one-way covenant. What that means is there are two people involved, but it was only one who put it into effect. It was a promise, and by the way, a covenant is like a promise on steroids. A covenant is a promise that somebody made and a binding agreement that could only be changed by the death of the one who made the covenant. And by the way, understand, there's a covenant with death, the Bible tells us, and that's why Jesus had to come and die, to end that. Please know that, and it's a different message. But why is it so important that it's a unilateral covenant? Why is it so important that it was only God who had something to do with this? By the way, that doesn't mean that Abraham could not demand that it be honored, because he could. A covenant, both parties can demand that it be honored, but only one person put it into effect, and that was God. In this case, it's important for this reason, because there's nothing that Abraham could have done. There's nothing that Abraham could have done to make this covenant in effect. Let me explain it this way. We see that it was all God and no man. Notice, I'm going to read this. And by the way, you know what? Here, let me finish that thought. Why is it so important that Abraham had nothing to do with this covenant? Why was it so important that Abraham could do nothing to put this into effect? I'll tell you why, because Abraham was a sinful man like you and me. We just keep, if you keep reading through these, through the next few chapters, we'll find that Abraham went through a time where he didn't have any faith and there was a famine in the land, and he went down to Egypt to get food instead of trusting God. And while he was in Egypt, this man Abraham, this incredible man Abraham, was willing to give away his wife Sarah, who was supposed to be the mother of this nation that was promised, in order to save his own life. You read the story. By the way, and I'll say it again, you can turn your TV off if you want to read. You can find everything in the Bible. If you like mysteries, you can find mysteries in there. You like romance, you can find romance. Look, you read whatever you want to. You want to find war and all that, it's all in here. But Abraham went through a difficult time, a time of lack of faith, just like many of us do. And he was willing to give away his own wife in order to do that. We find he went through another time where he didn't trust God entirely. And he took, basically, he took a what the Bible calls a concubine, which was a servant to his wife. And he impregnated her in order to try to bring children into the world because he didn't trust God to do it. And it's created all kinds of conflict in the Middle East today. Amen. So it's a good thing that this covenant didn't have anything to do with Abraham. It was all God. And we know it was all God because I'm going to read those verses for you. We won't turn, put them up there again, but I'm going to read those verses again for you. And I want you to notice, you will not find the word if. You stop me if you hear the word if. Are you ready? Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Any word if in there so far? Is there anything in there where God says, Abraham, if you'll do this, then I will do it? No, you don't find that. By the way, we do find that other places where God made a covenant with somebody where they were also a part of the covenant. 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and if they shall pray and seek my face, and if they shall turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land, and so on. Forgive their sins and heal their land. See, when God wanted to put a condition on man, he made sure it was very clear. But in this case, he didn't put any conditions on Abraham. He said, I am going to make you a great nation. By the way, he didn't even ask Abraham if he agreed, disagreed, or if he wanted to go. He just said, I want you to go. It's so important. We don't find the word if in there anywhere. You know, God says in 1 John chapter 5, he said, skip to the New Testament, he says, if you will confess your sins, then I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. You see, when God put conditions on man, he told man. In this case, God didn't want Abraham involved in this because God wanted the rest of the world to know this was all on him and there's nothing the rest of the world can do to earn it, to merit it, to get it into effect. If you read through this chapter, you go home today, read through all the way through chapter 15, you'll find that to prove that, God did something that very unusual. Back in those days, when a covenant was made between two people, they would take an animal and cut the animal in half. And they would put the two halves on side, and both parties would walk through in between them. In between them. By the way, out of the mouths of babe, God has perfected praise. Yes? So Hunter's praising God. And I know, And someday he will learn to do that. Listen. So God put Abraham into a deep sleep. And God passed through as a fire on his own to prove, to make sure he made the point, this is all on me and not on Abraham. Now, why do we care so much about that? Because God cannot lie. Amen. Let me rephrase. Let me say it again. I mean, it's important because God cannot lie. Amen. Now, Abraham can lie. We can lie. America can lie. You know, we don't keep our word all the time, but God does. And this one is all on him. And it's not on us. It's all on him. And God cannot lie. So God's covenant was with Abraham. Now watch, here's the key though. So God's covenant was with Abraham. And it was unconditional, one way. But to the rest of the world, it's a conditional covenant. To everybody outside the family of Israel, outside the nation of Israel, that means to you and me, it's a conditional covenant. Let's go back to verse 3. Here's the condition. God said, I will bless those who bless you. Point. He said, that's it. I will bless those who bless you. I will bless all those nations that bless Israel. Yep. Amen. By the way, we see this all through Scripture, by the way. Amen. Read through your Bible, you'll find that God was true to this. Nations that were good to Israel prospered. Nations that cursed Israel, God cursed. And this is not a covenant that ever ended. This is the point. He said, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's a conditional covenant with the rest of the world. Now, God sometimes speaks sort of cryptically. You know, some of the parables and some of the things that God, some of the old time prophecies that you read, they're kind of like, they cause you to scratch your head. We've been studying some of these on Wednesday nights, and we're looking at some of these images, you know, these beasts and the odd things about them. And we sometimes wonder, I wonder what God means by that. I wonder what God's trying to say there. Well, here God is pretty clear, isn't he? 13 words. And by the way, so let's just do a little breakdown here. When he said the word bless there in the Hebrew, it's actually Aramaic. In the Aramaic, you know what that word bless means? It means bless. And do you know what curse means? Yes, it means curse. God made it real simple. Look, God didn't use flowery language here. God wanted this to be so crystal clear for all of us to understand, even to this day. He wanted us to understand, if you bless my people, I will bless you. If you curse my people, I will curse you, period. That's what he said. That's what he said. And he said that rises above your politics. He said that rises above your politics. That rises above your opinions, your feelings. God is not messing around, folks. He is not messing around here. And notice the words bless, they're the same words. So what God is actually saying, without doing any injustice to this, God is saying, Abraham, whatever they do to you, I will do exactly the same thing to them. Now let that sink in a minute. Hey, nations, whatever this nation does to my people, I will do to that nation. And good or bad? Do you know, can I just bring all of us as Americans to a little reality here? Do you know we are no better than any other people on the face of the earth? We get that, right? Our skin color doesn't make us any different, any better. Our beliefs don't make us any better. There is nothing about me that is any better than the worst jihadist Muslim in Iran. As a person, we are all the same. The pagan, the heathen who doesn't even believe in God, the person who shakes his fist at God is no less or worse of a person than I am. So why is America so blessed? Why has America led the way in innovation? Why has America led the way in prosperity? Why are the poor of America better off financially than 70-some percent of the rest of the world? Come on, talk to me. Why? Because America has a history of blessing Israel. Period. It's not our own goodness. We're not that good. Look at the way we treat each other. Look at how Americans treat each other right now. If you disagree with me, I say the most horrible things to you. Now, please understand, I try not to do that. But if I were speaking on behalf of most Americans, this is what we do. We treat each other terribly. We treat women terribly. Look, I know there's worse places in the world, but the truth is we're reaping a lot of the unfairness that's been treated to women for hundreds of years, yes? Racism was a cancer that was never dealt with. There are not that many countries that have slavery, but America's got a big history of it, and we're just flat out mean to each other, and we're selfish. What is there so good about us as Americans that would merit how good we have it? Nothing. The reason that America is so blessed and has been is because America has a history of standing by Israel, and God cannot lie. And it's not just nations, but it's also people. individuals. God didn't make this promise, this extension of a covenant with Abraham. He didn't just make it. Was, again, I remind you, it was unilateral. It was all God. So it's going to happen, period. Secondly, it was conditional, though, to us, but not just us as a nation, but to us as individuals and us as families. Did he not say, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed? Your family will be blessed, Tom, in direct proportion to according to God, to your attitude about Israel. And Tim and Julie and all that, we can talk, we go all around the room. And God says, listen, your attitude toward Israel is my attitude toward you.
Amen.
God said, I will bless those that bless you. I will do to others exactly as they do to you. That means those who stand with you, I will stand with, and those who stand against you, I will stand against. That means, he said, those who oppose you having your land, I will oppose them having their land. What was God? Do you know God told Abraham, again, look, that's a touchy subject right there. I'm going to. You know, the whole world, you know, there's a big issue with, you know, how much land should Israel have? Let me tell you what God said Israel should have. God took Abraham up on the top of a mountain. He said, see as far as you can. And where what he could see was not just this tiny little Rhode Island-sized country that my wife and I were blessed to be able to visit last fall. But we're talking about Turkey and Syria and Jordan and Iran and Iraq and all of those. So now look, am I saying that all those should be taken away and given to Israel? Well, yeah. I don't want to be the one to make that call. And it's not going to happen until Jesus comes back and wipes the rest of them out and fills the valley that we said, we took that picture and I brought you that pottery back from the top of that hill. That's the valley that's going to be filled with blood of Jesus' enemies. And then they'll have it all. But listen, don't sit there and think, oh man, you know, these Palestinians, they have a right to this. Look, maybe they do in the world system, but God said, this is all belonging to my people, Israel. He didn't ask Abraham how he felt about it, by the way. He didn't say, Abraham, how do you feel about going and taking land away from the people who live there? He didn't ask, he didn't care about Abraham's opinion of whether that was fair, whether that was just. And who are we to think that God cares about our opinion? Woe be to the man, woman, boy, or girl who thinks that their 20 years or 40 years or 80 years of vast experience and wisdom on this earth makes us think we know justice better than God does.
Amen.
How arrogant for anyone to think, well, I just don't think that's fair what God said. Do you know who God is? More importantly, do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? Now, Jesus says you are special, you are beautiful, you're worth dying for. Okay? Please don't mistake this is not a negative thing about us, but the truth is, he's God. It all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns all the hills and all the valleys and all the mountains and all the oceans. It's all his. And by the way, we ought to stop treating it the way that we do. We ought to stop treating this earth the way we do because it belongs to God. Don't throw your cigarette butts out the window of your car. Don't throw your, you know, McDonald's bags out the window of your car. Look, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong to destroy this world that God gave to us because it does not belong to us. It belongs to him. I'm not a conservation freak, you know that, but I do think we ought to recycle. I do. I think we ought to recycle. I think we ought to take care of things. Look, I don't think we ought to just. I don't think we ought to just kill animals for the fun of killing them. You want to hunt for food? That's great. Do it. All about that. We had a couple of hunters in the back part of our woods yesterday, and my wife and I burned all of our leaves, and the smoke drove all the deer out of there. It's like, sorry, guys. But look, I have no issue with that. That's what God gave us animals for. But he didn't give us animals to torture them.
Right.
He didn't give you a dog for you to mistreat it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So the point is, God said, look, I'm serious about this stuff. And he said, I'm serious about blessing the world through you. You know, there are many who didn't believe this. there are many nations who didn't buy this whole thing of God blessing those who bless you and cursing those who curse them. You can talk to some of these nations. Take a look at some of these nations that have a history of. Germany wasn't the only Holocaust, by the way, of the Jews. We understand that, right? Thirteen countries tried to wipe the Jews out in history. Countries like Spain. Spain was a world power when it tried to wipe out the Jews. You know what it is now? It's barely a tourist destination. You think God's not true to His word? You know, we, of course, the Germans have never, Germany's never recovered. And neither have any of these countries that tried to wipe out the Jews. And by the way, 13 countries trying to wipe out one of the smallest nations on the face of the planet. Why do you think they were never successful? I mean, you're talking about, look, right now Israel is surrounded by enemies that hate them, would rather see them dead. How is it that they haven't all they got to do is just seemingly just walk across the border and take over? I'll tell you why, because there's a force behind that that will not allow them to do that, and it's right there. It's that verse right there. Nobody around Israel enjoys the blessings that they enjoy. And when I say that, I'm talking about they have, look, there's very little poverty there, if any, because they know how to grow crops in a desert. And they have the highest percentage of doctors. Their health care is beyond anything any other part of the world ever has. Their educational system is superior to everybody else's. They are the leaders in innovation, believe it or not. You got a cell phone on you today? Does anybody not have a cell phone on them today? The technology came from Israel. It came from Israel, as does most of the technology that we have today. So the point is, God is true to His word. Lastly, number three. I said it was a unilateral covenant. It was all God, none Abraham. Secondly, it was a conditional covenant with the rest of the world. But here's the big one. Number three, there is no middle ground. There is no, you say, well, you know, I'm one of these pastor that thinks we should just stay out of it. Guess what? You don't get that option. Amen. America doesn't get that option. Iran doesn't get that option. China doesn't get that option. Russia doesn't get that option. Nobody gets that option. Let's go back to the scripture, verse 3. Notice, please. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and I will just ignore those who try to stay out of it. Do you see any middle ground there? Is there any partial blessing or partial curse involved here? Of course not. God said there are only those who bless Israel and there are only those who curse Israel, period. Folks, we need to understand this. Look, I warned you right from the start. This is a churchy message. I get it. Wouldn't you rather hear the truth from me, from God's word, than from the judgment seat? Or worse, we just don't know it and we just go on in our lives not realizing what we're doing with something that God said was so important, and then we don't get God's blessing on our lives, and even worse, we get God's curse on our lives. And thank you for that, by the way. So may I remind us all, God didn't ask Abraham how he felt about taking the land. He wasn't interested in his opinion and so on. There is no middle ground. You and I, okay, there were some countries, remember back in 1947 when Israel was supposed to be given back its land, and there were some countries that voted for it. There was one country who voted against it. There were several who said, you know what, we just sit this one out. Countries like Great Britain. You know, at the time, Great Britain, England was the leader of Europe. You know what they are today? You can't even get a decent meal there. Their food's terrible. It's true. Ask anybody who's been there. Look, they're just nothing but a average. I mean, there's really, look, the royal family has been racked with tragedies. It's kind of a joke now. Look, ask England how well that fared for them when they tried to sit it out and abstain. God says you don't get to abstain. You're for Israel or you're against Israel, period. That's how it works. Canada abstained. What is Canada? You know what Canada is known around the world as? That place north of America. Canada's most known here is the place where all the Vietnam era people who didn't want to go to Vietnam, where they ran to. That's its claim to fame. Look, its healthcare system is a disaster. And again, I'm just saying, God said, God didn't give us any room there to abstain. And those are countries, but I'm talking about the rest of us now. The rest of us. I'm talking about us personally now. I don't get to abstain either. You don't get to choose how you feel about Israel or standing with Israel.
Amen.
You have to choose. I have to choose. I'm for them or I'm against them.
Amen.
I want Israel to prosper or I don't want Israel to prosper. God said there's no middle ground here. And that's regardless of what my personal philosophies are or my sense of justice or anything else. So watch, and I'm done. Tell them to prepare the children, would you, Mauricio? We don't get to choose whether or not we get to choose whether or not we agree that God can lie, okay? Can I just let you know? Here's where your choice ends. My choice ends with, can God lie? I believe God cannot lie. Okay, if you believe that too, then you have to believe that he's going to bless those who bless Israel and he's going to curse those who curse Israel. We can't harbor negative thoughts toward them without God harboring negative thoughts toward us. We cannot oppose their right to their land without God opposing our right to our land. And we cannot vote for people, representatives, who will do so. We cannot choose our leaders. Now again, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I don't know where all the senators and congressmen and all that. Hold on just a minute. I don't know where they all stand on all that. But what I would suggest you do is you find out before you cast a vote.
Amen.
Before you choose your leaders, figure out whether, because remember, if America goes down, we go down.
Amen.
And besides that, we owe it to the God who gave his son for us.
Amen.
To honor his covenant.
Amen.
With Abraham. And he said, I will bless you. I will bless you, America, if you bless Israel. I will bless you, Scott family, if you bless Israel. I will bless you if you bless, but I will curse you if you curse them. Please know. That's not God being mean. That's just simply God saying, this is where I'm at, and it should rise above. Look, forget about you as a Republican. Look, your being a Republican should have nothing whatsoever to do with your beliefs where the Bible's concerned. You're not a Christian because you're a Republican, and you're not a Republican because you're a Christian. Same thing goes for Democrat. Look, there shouldn't be any Democrat. There shouldn't be any Republican. There's no conservative. There's no liberal. There's no pro this or pro that. This is one issue that God said, I am not going to bend on Israel.
Amen.
This is where I stand. You either stand with me or you stand against me.
Amen.
Are there some things that probably some of the pro-Israel politicians are horrible people? Absolutely. But then again, so am I. A horrible person,
right.
Compared to Jesus.
Yep.
Are they going to? They may oppose. I've said this before. I will vote for a politician who does two things: stand with Israel and get rid of daylight savings time.
Amen.
You got my vote. Stand with Israel and stop these robocalls. You got my vote. I don't care what your position is on everything else. But you better get that right. And child of God, you and I had better get this right.
Amen.
We had better stand with Israel. Because God said, that covenant that I made with Abraham, it extends to you personally.
Amen.
Personally. So please know, God is wanting us. God wants to bless us. Yes? God is for us. He's for us. Look, child of God, God is for you.
Amen.
And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, He's for you. He wants you. He wants you to be a part of His family. He wants to bless you. But He can't if we don't stand with Israel. He can't. Even if He wants to, He can't stand with you.
Amen.
because you have violated a covenant that he cannot break.